Welcome to Elevations, bringing new perspectives to science, technology, education, and the arts. I'm Amy Reynolds.
I think that there is a bright future for our lake, but it's going to take determination and resolve in order to address these problems.
As WKSU begins a series of reports on the watershed in Northeast Ohio, we're talking with Dr. Joseph Ortiz, professor of geology at Kent State University. Dr. Ortiz is trained in aquatic biology and oceanography, and he likes to unravel climate mysteries, as he puts it. And he has developed an advanced way to study and predict algae blooms. Welcome, Dr. Ortiz.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Amy.
We'll get to our eastern part of Lake Erie in just a minute, but can you tell me a little bit about what the current situation is on the western end of Lake Erie?
This year, what we're probably going to end up seeing is a pretty large bloom. The bloom increases as you increase the amount of water that flows into the lake, and we've had record high levels. So if we get warm weather and clear skies, we'll probably see some pretty large blooms that will develop as a result of that.
Are there other impacts on this half of the lake from the bloom being so present on the western side?
You know, downstream there are. That's a really good point. What we think of the problems associated with this bloom when they occur is the odor, the unsightly bright green color that we see on the lake, the fact that it slows down our boats and it's really a thick bloom. But eventually that dies. And as that material dies and flows east and down into the interior of Lake Erie, it gets chewed up by bacteria, gets respired. And as they respire, they draw down the oxygen in the bottom levels of the lake. And that actually leads to problems in the central basin with the growth of this so-called dead zone.
And are there native species or areas you're concerned about the health of the overall lake as a result of the hypoxic zone?
One of the things that we've seen with the decrease in the size of the blooms in response to limiting of nutrients into the lake was up till the mid-1990s or so, a return of things like caddisflies that are benthic organisms that require clean water and high bottom water oxygen levels. And so as the blooms get worse, it's possible that we'll see a die off of those indicator species that are kind of like the canaries in the coal mine.
What's the biggest threat to the eastern side of the lake?
One of the problems that we face are combined sewer overflows and pollution that results in bacterial contamination. This is a harder problem to address for a couple of reasons, because we have to pinpoint what the source of that pollution is. And it could arise from a number of different sources. It could be from human sewage. It could be from agricultural farm animals. Or it could be avian sourced. And so one of the ways to address that is through testing to figure out what strain of E. coli you're dealing with. And then you can put in the kinds of controls to address that. Another issue that makes that problem harder to deal with is that you can't directly sense the E. coli using remote sensing techniques. And so as a result of that, we need to either invest in more direct sampling or in automated sensors to collect that measurements, or we have to develop new strategies to look for correlations between what we can see with the satellite and the E. coli contamination that occurs in the central and eastern basin.
Is this an issue that you think people are aware of?
I think that it is probably not getting as much attention, but I can tell you from talking to folks in coastal communities that it's something that they're acutely aware of and concerned about. The beaches are tested at least once a week for E. coli contamination, and that can it can really cause a problem in terms of the local economy. And so that's something that we really need to address. And one of the challenges has been there's been decreased funding to the USGS for many of their gauging stations. And so some of the areas that really do need to have access to river monitoring information don't have it. And losing that is kind of like going blind. Because you don't have the data that you need in order to monitor and warn people about a potential health risk. We're starting to do some work on this in my lab as well to try and come up with ways to merge satellite observations with in situ sampling.
So tell me a little bit more about what you're doing in your lab.
One of the things that we're trying to do is what's driving the E. coli problems in some of these lakes is the release of nutrients along with sewage, right? And so if you have that sewage showing up, which we're not necessarily going to be able to pick up, but we can pick up the response to the nutrients that release, we may be able to use that connection in order to figure out times to point out when we'd want to do some additional testing for E. coli in order to try and get a handle on the problem.
In terms of other contamination or other threats to the lake, what do you worry about?
One of the things that's a growing area of concern are release of pharmaceuticals. We shouldn't be just flushing our old medicine into the lake. The water treatment plants do a really good job of drawing nutrients out of the system, but they're not necessarily designed to take chemicals out of the lake. We should be mindful of where we wash our car, right? So you want to make sure that you do it in a place that's going to dispose of the cleaning solutions properly. You want to try and not release fertilizers into the drainage systems. Try to minimize the water that you use through low flush toilets and so on. But probably the most important thing that you can do is vote. Right. So make sure that you're aware of what the current issues are and educate yourself about who is going to be interested in being a good steward of the environment. And then, you know, help those folks to get elected.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
We've been talking with Dr. Joseph Ortiz, professor of geology at Kent State. Elevations is produced by Joe Gunderman, John Nungesser, and Ellie Ellis. I'm Amy Reynolds, Dean of Kent State's College of Communication and Information. Join us every Saturday morning on 89.7 WKSU.